This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Ron, good morning. How are you, sir?
Mikey, I'm doing great. Ruthie, how are you guys this morning?
Doing great.
Yeah, we're home, so we're doing fantastic. Yeah. You have been on the road. And I got to tell you, Ron, the relentless nature of this schedule is something altogether different. Obviously, Arizona again coming in here, and then you got the Dodgers again. Like, it just feels like you're playing the best teams of baseball every time you turn around.
It really has been. Since the season has started, the only series that you got kind of where you looked at it and went, well, you know, they're not projected to be a team playing in October was the A's when we went to Sacramento. But, you know, when we went out west, this was really going to be the toughest two-week stretch of baseball schedule-wise that you thought the Cubs would have maybe all season. So, you know, you find out right away where you stand with the league. You know, we're going to be done with the Dodgers here by the time this homestand is over. We'll be done with Arizona when this homestand is over. And, you know, you've played the Padres, who you expect, who's, you know, so far has been one of the best teams in baseball. So, you know where you stand. And the Cubs are in first place right now, so that's, you know, some real positive stuff, you know, after a schedule where, you know, you're seeing the best teams.
Ron, what was your assessment of the Padres series? Obviously, the first series lost since Tokyo, but as you mentioned, one of the best teams in baseball right now.
Ruthie, I thought they played very well. When you go out west, first of all, when you finish 500, and this is some of the best teams I've played on, you're happy with a 500 record when you go out west.
Yeah.
You know, you're not. You want to do better, but when you get on that plane and you're heading back east, and if you're 500 or better, it's been a good trip. I thought the Cubs, I read in Council's, one of the things he was talking about going into this series, that they thought they did very well, but still a little disappointed that you left something, you know, left a game or two out there that you could have had, which is a great way to look at it, and it's the truth. So I thought the series against San Diego was good. They had a chance to win another ball game in that series, but I think some of the guys, you know, PCA played very well.
Yeah.
Some of the young guys are learning on the fly, you might say, and responding pretty well.
Yeah, Bush played well. Some of the young guys, you know, especially some of the California guys back in California. I'm curious. Obviously, you know, we're going to have to – well, I'll wait on Matt Shaw. We'll have to get to that. But I'm very curious, Luke Little – sent right back down, came up, obviously gave up the four walks, and now back to Iowa. They haven't announced whatever the other move is, but they did sort of change the pitching rotation a little. I think Colin Rea goes, and then they're giving an extra day to Ben Brown. What do you What do you think as you look at some of the moves in the bullpen? And, you know, we always talk about how bullpens change over the course of a year, but that's a very short stint for Luke Little.
Yeah. Well, I just he came in, you know, and was misfiring, walked four guys. And I think what's going to happen with the younger guys is if you perform, you're going to be able to stay. This is a team that's built to win, right? You need to win now. And if you're not going to perform, and I feel for Luke because it's been a long time. He's been banged up and he's been injured. You finally get a chance and it didn't work out. But with his kind of stuff, he's going to get another chance. This isn't like he's sent to the salt mines and you're done for good. He's just got to go figure it out, throw strikes, get back here. And then when he gets another chance, you got to throw the ball over the plate, you know, and that, you know, was part of the reason the Cubs lost the ball game. But the bullpen is figuring itself out, I guess you might say. When the Cubs have the lead, you kind of know where it stands. When they don't have the lead right now, you know, sixth, seventh, eighth, it's shuffling the deck a little bit. And we saw that with some of the moves. Plunkett came in, he's throwing hard and two strikes and got some outs. So he's been used a couple times already in San Diego. So the non-winning games or games you're ahead is still a little bit of a question mark, but the games where you're ahead, you kind of know where people stand.
And you feel like, Ron, this is an okay time for the Cubs to still sort of be figuring this out. Like it's still early enough in the season to sort of play around with it and get into a bullpen rhythm.
Ruthie, I think every team does.
Yeah.
I really do. The first month of April, first month of the season, the way teams are set up financially is you set your ball club up, and then you know the good teams have a solid closer, and they might have a really good setup guy, and then you start trying to figure it out. And some teams were able, and the Cubs being one of them, to sign some veteran pitchers, so that really helps that sixth, seventh inning when you're leading. But then when you're not, you know, there's that figuring out stage. And I think the first third of the season, I think you go through that. And almost every team does. And that's where the Cubs are at.
So I'm curious, Ron, were you surprised that Matt Shaw was sent down in as quick a fashion as he was? Or is there something in particular that they're looking for him to do before bringing him back? What is your take on the, you know, and I said it to Dustin, he didn't like it, but somehow third base has become this boogeyman position now where they had, what, seven different players at some point or other last year, all gone, and now you see Matt Shaw. I just felt bad for the kid, but I was wondering, and I've been asking you about this, his unconventional swing, like, it didn't occur to me, like, how do you fix that? Like, what do you do? Like, it's not like you can say one. There's just so many parts to it. What was your take on the whole thing?
Well, I was not surprised that he gets sent down. That's one. This is a league where, you know, performance matters. You're a team that's trying to win, so you've got to get production out of every spot. And if you're not producing, something else has to happen. For Matt, I think he is very unconventional. But some of those, as we've talked about, Mike, some of those things that are unconventional aren't, they're not the end of the world. And it's not so unique that they can't be, you know, they can't be incorporated into a guy's big league approach to hitting. The part that I saw that, you know, there's a couple things that got to happen. One, he's got to find like this baseline of things that I do in my swing that I do every single time that I can go to that are I do this in my setup. I do this in my leg kick. And when I start my swing, this is what I'm trying to accomplish every single time, you know, and a lot of that has to do with your head discipline in your eyes. And I just felt like he's a young player and he got to the point where, you know, you didn't see any of that. You didn't see where, you know, the normal ABCs that you have to do every time he was missing some of those. You know, you were seeing different things all the time. And he's just got to go down there and make sure somebody can be there with him to give him some of those things. I was just watching, and you cannot hit in the big leagues when your head is moving as much as his head was moving forward towards the pitcher. You cannot. It does not work. I don't care what the name is on the back of your jersey. You give Ted Williams a chance to hit in his prime and say your head has to move a foot towards the pitcher when you're trying to swing, he's going to hit 200. It's just the way it is. Not going to work. And that's what Matty was falling into, that trap.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Ron, are you surprised, considering just the strength of schedule, which we talked about, and the strength of schedule already that they've faced, are you surprised with the Cubs' offensive production? I just read that they lead the league with 124 runs, and it's 11 more than the Yankees.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised because, you know, you got some teams out there, you know, a team coming into town at the end of this trip, Philadelphia can put some points on the board in a hurry. The Yankees can. You know, teams that bopped the ball. The one thing that you knew going into this season is if the Cubs put guys on base, their athleticism was going to be very beneficial. We saw this same thing. We're going to see that in this series coming up against right. Arizona. Both teams very athletic. Both teams are going to run. And if they get key guys, you know, four, five, six guys on, they're going to run. And they're going to be stealing bases. And the Cubs, you know, fell into that a little bit in Los Angeles, where they had the heart of their lineup can all run, and the Dodgers were having a problem holding runners on, and the Cubs ran them out of the game a couple times. You're going to see that. And the Cubs have had a couple ball games also that skew that number a little bit. They had an 18-run game in Sacramento, and I believe a 16-run game in Los Angeles. So, you know, those numbers sometimes can be a little skewed,
yeah.
You know, and how you look at total runs scored. But still scored them, you know, but you've had a couple big, big games.
You know, I'm just curious, Ron, did you feel the earthquake when that thing hit? And had you been in an earthquake before? What happened with that earthquake that hit when you guys were out there?
Yes, I did feel the earthquake. I was sitting at my desk in the hotel room in San Diego. And, you know, I'm, you know, Mike, we're Midwest guys.
I know.
When the world started shaking, man, I'm like, I'm sitting at my desk in the hotel room in San Diego. And all of a sudden, I got a cup of coffee going. It's early in the morning. I'm like, it's okay. And I'm like, wow, that's awfully loud going down the hallway at 7:30 or 8 o'clock in the morning. And then next thing you know, the wall in front of me starts shaking. I'm like,
wow,
damnation, what do we got going on? And then I'm like, then it hit me. I'm like, we're in an earthquake. And the wall's shaking. My lamp is shaking. I'm like,
oh my goodness.
And I kind of moved away from the desk and I kind of peeked my head outside. I'm like, well, nobody else is yelling and screaming outside, so I guess we're okay. It was pretty bizarre. I have been in an earthquake a couple different times in California. That was probably the most significant one, I will say. One time I was outside walking and you felt the ground shake. And then this one was, entertaining, I guess you might say. Glad nothing major happened.
God, it's just, and you're so right.
Have you been in an earthquake?
Have you been in one? Listen to this one. We took our kids to Disneyland, okay?
What?
And we were sitting watching the Muppet Show, you know that Muppet Show? Which is a 5D, they call it, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're shooting water on you and stuff. I wasn't following what was going on. I thought the earthquake was part of the
show.
Shtick, swear to God. So I'm sitting there, and my daughter is next to me, and my other two kids are with my wife leaving the theater. And I look over, where are they going? I didn't notice the earthquake because I thought it was part of the thing.
Yeah.
So then we ran and caught up with them, and I'm like, were you not going to say something? Didn't you feel it? No. But we left, and then we went back to the room, and the next morning we got – it was a pretty serious one. It was a 6-something.
Wow.
And we got up in the morning, and we just went out on the balcony, just my wife and I, talking about what were we going to do. Do we stay here? Do we get out of here? We had another day at Disney, and while we were sitting there, one of the aftershocks hit.
Yeah.
And I, honest to God, I thought we were going to go off the balcony. It was really? A serious shake.
Oh, my goodness.
And we just, we just got up, packed up, and off we went. We left.
Time to go home.
Yeah. And we went to, I think we drove to Palm Springs or something, then we came back and had a day there before we finally jumped on a plane. But it was... I mean, it was so strange. I'd never, and of course, I don't know anything. I'm like, where's a doorway? I think you're supposed to stand in the doorway. You know what I mean? I never experienced anything like it.
Give me a good thunderstorm and we're good, you know?
Yeah.
I'm okay there.
Right.
Yeah, maybe we'll go in the basement think. It was, I just thought it was such a wild weather event to have, or natural event, I guess, to have happen. Just crazy. I also, Ron, I once covered the Marshawn Lynch game. Do you remember that? The playoff game in Seattle? Uh-huh. Where the crowd cheered so loud, the stadium shook, and they said it registered as an earthquake.
Whoa.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. But, I remember when that was at the World Series, when it was in San Francisco and that earthquake hit.
Yeah.
And, you know, the road came down. I mean, that is frightening stuff. I would hate to have to
live. I was watching that game. I remember I just had my knee fixed, and I was watching the game. I'd just gotten out of the hospital. I was sitting at a friend's house watching. I'm like, I looked at him. I'll never forget. I go, oh, what the hell just happened? What's wrong with your TV? You know, boom, it was out, right?
I was working at the paper, and young Joe Goddard called in with his story. Joe, longtime baseball writer, the late Joe Goddard. And Joe, I said to him, Joe, are you okay? He said the minute it hit, he crawled under the desk in the press room. He said all these people were standing up and looking. He just went for cover. I'm like, you're a wise man.
Yeah. I think that's what they say. Go get under the desk.
Yeah.
But
anyway, it was a wild thing. Back to the Cubs. So when you look at this right now, Ruthie mentioned it, the first series loss since Japan, now you come home, and again, the opponents don't get any easier, but the trip home probably does. You probably feel good about the road trip. We've talked a lot about what the expectations are, for this team in this particular stretch. Does being at home make it easier to deal with a difficult schedule? In other words, coming back and getting in your own bed and getting out to the ball yard and having the fans behind you, does that make this series, I don't want to call it easier, but it makes it more manageable?
I would say yes. You never know how the series is going to turn out, but I just think every player, just finally being home. I think the team has been on the road between leaving to get to Arizona by minimum and, second week of February you've been home, you went to Japan and then you were home for 6 days back out west again. So I think everybody's going to be happy to get in the normal time zone, right? The Midwest time zone, get normal sleep, be in your own house, go to Wrigley Field where you're familiar. I do think that is a big advantage. But, you know, you still got to play the game, so you don't know how the games are going to turn out. But I do think guys are ready to just be home and kind of settle into the season. I always like to say, once you get a good long homestand and, you know, you're there for a while and you're not leaving right away, you know, you kind of settle in. And that's what's going to happen here in this next 10 days with a couple off days at home.
Ron Coomer on the Score is sponsored by Huntington, home of early pay. More at Huntington.com/yourmoney. Ron, thank you, buddy. Always a joy.
Thanks, Ron.
Have a great weekend, Mikey, Ruthie. Great to talk to you guys. I will talk to you next week, bud.
All righty. That is Ron Coomer.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.